The American agnostic lecturer Robert G. Ingersoll called, "Hope is the only universal liar who never lose his reputation for veracity." But the late Norman Cousins, former editor of the Saturday Review, who miraculously survived an almost incurable illness and a severe heart attack, he adamantly disagreed with Ingersoll. He said, I'm going to read it to you, "The human body experiences a powerful gravitational pull in the direction of hope. That's why the patient's hope are the physician's secret weapon. They are hidden ingredient of any prescription." In the Cousins' work with a patient in UCLA School of Medicine, Cousins proved the power of hope to change the people's lives. Without hope, without absolute knowing that there's no hope, I don't think many of us can survive, can we?
No.
I said this, but I'm going to say it again because it's so true. It's been said people can survive without food 40 days. People can survive without water for 4 days. But people cannot survive without hope, not even 4 seconds. When you know there's absolutely no hope, then your heart pretty much shut it down.
Amen.
Let me give you a tragic example of the people who lost the hope. You may remember Sago mine disasters in West Virginia that happened January 6, 2006. I'm not touching anything, bro. You have all those knobs. Martin Toller Jr. huddled with 11 fellow miners trying to shelter from the poisonous air in one of the forest reaches of the Sago mine. He took out the insurance form and the pencil and wrote down something for his family. In a faint sentence of farewell and religious conviction, he let his family know that the death is as approach came gently. He wrote, "Tell all, I see them on the other side." And then he said, "It wasn't bad, I just went to sleep." At the bottom, he said, "I love you." All 12 of them died. One survived because he was not in the same location. He lost hope physically. He lost hope emotionally. Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, is the answer for our loneliness and sorrow, suffering, and discouragement, and the problem of sins. Because He is our blessed hope.
Right.
We can hang on to that hope, and it does not betray people. It does not go away, because somebody said, yeah, I can dash that hope. I believe that Lord has powerful message for us. Not because I have, He does. His word always speak to us, no matter who the deliverer is. He is the blessed hope for all the hurtings. And if you only open your heart to receive, whether you receive or not is not up to Him. It's up to you. You with me? Let's stop and pray. Father, it's always good to be in your house. We thank you for this wonderful day, not because of children playing with the Easter eggs, not because they are able to wear the beautiful dress or beautiful clothes, more than anything, because your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, defeated death. Yes, we commemorate Jesus' death on the cross with a solemnity, but the resurrection, His resurrection, calls for the applause and praise and songs. And we remember that because His death, we can face tomorrow. Because of His death and the resurrection, we have this hope, unquenching hope. Father, we are asking you to speak to us. And you especially speak to those who are hurting. whether they are in loneliness, sorrowful heart, and they are suffering, or if they are in discouragement, or they are having problem with the sins. You speak to them, remind them that you are the answer for all. Father, we are asking you to anoint our heart so that we may receive your truth with the gladness, and anoint the one who speaks. Father, we pray for our troops, especially the one in the harm's way. Another officer got killed, Father. Comfort their families and friends. And pray for the entire law enforcement community, as well as the firefighters. Father, we pray for the President Trump and all the leaders in this country. Father, we pray that they may turn to you, and seek your guidance, and do your will. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
First, Christ is the answer for loneliness. Some of you may not show your loneliness to others. If the truth be known, it holds you like a vice-like grip. And the spirit of the holiness can settle down upon your soul in the very moment you are asking this question, is life worth living? For many people, life has ceased to be worth living. To all of you, I have a good news. God did not create you to be defeated, discouraged, frustrated, and wandering soul, and seeking in vain for peace of heart and peace of mind. And he has a bigger plan for you, and he has a greater life for you. The answer to your problem, however great this you have, is as near as your Bible, as simple as a first grade arithmetic, and as real as your heartbeat right now. Since you are in Romans chapter 8, go to verse 37, please. Romans 8, 37. Are you guys called?
Yes.
No? Yes? No?
No.
You're fine? I always tell myself, I'll never ask that question, and then I ask you again. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. If you are born again Christian, you have Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You have that blessed hope, and you know that you should know that you are more than a conqueror. Upon the authority of God's word, I declare to you that Jesus is the answer to every baffling perplexity that plagued mankind. In Him is found a cure for care, and balm for the bereavement, and healing for our hurts, and sufficiency for our insufficiency. Many of you are living lives of unbearable loneliness. You can be lonely in the midst of the crowd. Or you can be lonely even though you are married and you're living with your spouse. How that is possible? Loneliness has nothing to do with, it has something to do with the physical situation, but mostly emotional situation. The world to you is shut off and you are shut out. Social barriers have prevented you from doing what you wish to do. Personality barriers are not helping, mostly hinders you. Especially if you're an introverted person, it's hard to get out and make a friend with someone. Even if you have hundreds of friends, you can still be lonely. You live in a world of utter solitude, or perhaps your companion of many years have certainly taken away. Or maybe he or she has left you for someone else. You're left all alone in the empty house. Loneliness is no respecter of persons. It invades palace as well as little shack. Many turn to the alcohol, drugs, and jump into relationship without love. Without true love, that is. Because of this loneliness. Others lose their sanity because of loneliness. Many even try suicide. because of despair of loneliness. But thousands have found that Christ is the answer for their loneliness. Go to Matthew chapter 28, please. Mike, James, would you turn this up to the 72? Is it 72?
It's 75.
Okay, never mind then. Seems like a lot cooler before. 28, chapter 28, verse 20. Jesus speaking, "Lo, I am what?" Say it again. Jesus said he is with us, not once in a while, always, even to the end of the age. You may remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three friends of Daniel in chapter 3 of the book of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar, who has an ego as big as Mount Everest, he decided he's going to build the golden image. Probably it looked like him in the plane. It stands up all by itself, and people are supposed to gather from all over the Babylon Empire. And they're supposed to bow down to this image and worship that image. In other words, he was portraying himself as this image, and everyone in his empire should bow down. But out of all the people, there are three Jewish boys standing up. They are sticking up like a sore thumb. Just imagine, when everybody's bowing down, there are three guys. Do you think you can find them? Yeah. And because King Nebuchadnezzar liked them, he asked them, "Bow down, all good." And they said, "No, we are not going to bow down to the idol." He was hopping mad, ordered them to be thrown into the fiery furnace. You guys know the story. They threw him inside. And then when he looked inside, there was four people inside. They were not burned. I don't know what they were doing, probably having a fellowship. And then he said, the fourth one looked like a son of God. Let me give you another example. Moses. He was alone in the Midian desert when God came to comfort him and call him to ministry. Elijah was not alone in the cave when God came near and spoke to him in a still, small voice. And Paul and Silas, they will end up in the jail. As a matter of fact, Paul was a regular jailbird. He was inside a Philippian jail and stuck in the stock. Somehow we sanitize the stock. You know what the stock is? It's like they put you one leg on one side, the other leg, as wide as they can, and spread them out, and like this, all, if your nose is itchy, you're done. You cannot scratch it. And you cannot say, "I need to go to the bathroom." It doesn't work that way. In the midnight, they were singing praise songs. God was with them. And right after that, when they were singing the song, God really enjoyed their song. He was started tapping the toes and tapping his knees, and the earthquake broke up. God was with them. Whoever you are, Christ can give you comfort and companionship. Whatever color, race, or creed, your heart yearnings are the same. The lonely, aching spot can be filled with Christ if you open your heart and let him in. Only you can open that door. Christ is answer to sorrow. Christ is answer to sorrow. There are many of you have turned to God, but you are still carrying your burden when God invites you by saying this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, please. 1 chapter 5, verse 7. You there yet? Okay. "Casting all your care upon him, for he," what?
Cares.
Say it again.
Cares.
Who cares for you?
Jesus.
Who cares for you? More than your mom, more than your dad, more than your friend, more than anyone in the world, Jesus cares for you. You who must go through the valley of shadow of death, you who must say goodbye to those whom you have loved, and you who suffer deprivation and misery, you who are unjustly persecuted for the righteousness' sake, take heart, take courage. Christ is more than adequate for your sorrow. The Apostle Paul, who suffers as much as any person can ever live, and said, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Diseased, afflicted, scarred, bruised, and battered by persecution, this age-old apostle said, "Be glory to God. To him be glory forever and ever." Does that sound to you as a bitter man? Does that sound to you the emotionally lonely person or sorrowful person? For those who are in Christ, listen to me carefully, please. The problem with our heavy-hearted believers are not lack of faith. Let me say one more time. The problem we have is not lack of faith, but the lack of a vision. Our problem is not so much that God doesn't give us what we hope for as it is that we don't know the right things to which to hope. Do you understand? A lot of times we do not hope for what He wants us to have. Hope is not what we expect. It is what we never dreamed. It is wild, improbable tale of pinch me, I'm dreaming. Abraham had to adjust his bifocal because he was not looking at his grandson. He was looking at his own son at age 100. If the person actually had a son at age 100 and his wife is 90, guess what? He's going to be on the news every channel. Karen and I were talking about that, and she said, "If that happened, I'm going to kill you." "I love you too. Thank you. I'll kill myself too." Speaking of Karen, you guys know that she had a knee surgery. She's at home. She went through some tough time Friday. She's home. And she's such an independent lady. She's trying to put the walk up that far and try to skip it. Slow down. She's with Suzanne Jones, one of our sisters from here. Okay, let's go back to the story. Moses, remember, he lashed out at the people. He struck the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock for the water. Remember that? Because of the disobedience, because of his attitude, God told him, "You ain't gonna go into the promised land." Okay, that's my version. So he never got to go into, he could see the promised land, but he could not go in. Can you imagine his heart? He put up with these people for 40 years in the wilderness. Talk about pastor for 40 years, never took a vacation, never put away from the congregation for 40 years, and then he could not get into the promised land. But he stood in the promised land. Now with Miriam and Aaron on the side, he was standing with Elijah. He was standing with the Son of God. Talk about kindness and generosity of God. And remember two guys on the way to Emmaus. And they went to this place and they said, "We need to stop here because it's too dark. Why don't you join us and have a break of bread with us?" On the way to there, Jesus was a they couldn't remember, they didn't know that he was Jesus, risen Savior. And he was explaining to them about all this prophecy spoken in the Old Testament and how Jesus fulfilled all that. I'm sure that was quite an awesome Bible study, don't you think? And when the man, this stranger, broke the bread and handed it to them, all of a sudden, they realized it was the reason saved. God gives hope to those who trust in Him. in spite of situation and circumstance therein. We must take our eyes off what we see, but focus on the immortal and invisible, the only wise God, and His unchanging word. He never fails. Say it with me. He never fails. Say it again. He never fails. Remember that when you feel lonely. Remember that when you're sorrowful. Christ is the answer to suffering. Sickness, sorrow, and sin all contains kissing deception of the serpent and the result of fallen man in the Garden of Eden. Sickness is a byproduct of transgression of mankind. But that by no means indicate that Christians are never too afflicted. The Bible says many are affliction of righteousness in Psalm 34:19. Job, remember him? He was righteous in the God's, according to God's comment. Yet he was afflicted beyond what the majority of us could imagine. The Apostle Paul had an infirmity to his death. Lazarus, remember that guy? He was loved by Jesus, yet he died. Godly people down across the century have been promised no immunity from the disease and infirmity. How many of you guys do know who are born again Christians who love Jesus Christ, yet they have a cancer, they have a terminal disease, they have an illness? I can count several even in our church. Many people ask me, why do Christians suffer? Why do Christians suffer? That's the favorite question of agnostics and atheists. If truth be known, it's beyond our capability to answer correctly. I don't know, but I do know God is with them. I do know this. There are the three reasons for Christian people are being afflicted. They are either being afflicted for discipline, or chastened, or molding process. Proverbs 3:12, please. Proverbs 3:12. Right after the book of Psalms. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. Before you start to ask questions to God, why? Am I loved by you? Yes. Are you correcting me? Are you chastening me? Are you molding me? Whenever I go through the difficult time, because I learned in 30 some years of with the walk with the Lord, I want to get some of you might like to stay in the difficult time. I don't. I'm a wimp. I like to get out as soon as I can. So I ask him a question. What do you want me to learn from this? Let me learn so I can get out quickly. Folks, God is molding you. God is molding me. It would be nice if He just give us the book. You read this, and you're good. I'll read that book. Wouldn't you? Instead of going through the trials and tests, why not just read a book? We're good. Finished. That's not how we learn. I've learned the love of God in the midst of the most difficult time I went through. I was kicking and screaming. And He taught me. I could reach out and touch Him. When I was crying out to Him, He embraced me. From this scripture, we learned that the chastening of affliction is a step of in the process of our full and complete development. It is the love tap from our Heavenly Father to show us that we have wandered from the pathway of duty. Listen. Hello. There you go. Thank you. Affliction can also be the means of refining our end of purification. Many people have come forth from the furnace of affliction and more beautiful and more useful and more godly. We sang a song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Do you know the story of that? Many of you know this. But I'm going to tell you. It was written by Horatio Spafford, who was a successful lawyer and businessman in Chicago, with his lovely family, wife, Anna, and the five children. However, that family is not away from the fear and tragedy. Their young son died with pneumonia in 1871. In the same year, much of their property and possession was been burned down, business including, with the famous Chicago fire. But God was faithful to give him the more success. November 21st, 1873, French ocean liner was crossing the Atlantic from the U.S. to the Europe with the 313 passengers, including Horatio's wife and four daughters. And Horatio could not go because he had to take care of some business. So he told them, he promised them, go first, I'll catch up with you in a few days. About 4 days into crossing the Atlantic Ocean, their ship collided with a powerful Scottish ship. Their ship sank beneath the cold and dark water of the Atlantic, and carrying with the 226 passengers, including four daughters of Bedford. Anna, his wife, survived alone, and wired her husband a message when she got to England. She wrote, survived alone. Another ship survivor, Pastor Wise, later recalled Anna saying, this is what Anna said, God gave me four daughters. Now they have been taken from me. Someday I will understand why. Talk about maturity. Horatio booked the passage to join his wife in Europe. 4 days out again, Captain called Horatio to his room, and he said, this is the place where the ship sank. So he walked out to the deck, leaning against the rail, he wrote this song. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Throughout the generation, this song touched millions of people's heart and gave hope, strength, and dependence in God's will. Though we may not understand why. I like the way that Job explained that. And he answered his own question. Job 23:10 says, but he knows the way I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. I don't know where you are. If you are in trial and test, you might be going through a financial difficulty. You might be going through the illness that seems almost impossible to be cured. Or maybe you lost a job. Whatever the situation is, God put you in there with permission from Him, you are there. It's up to you to learn. Remember what I said? Whenever I go through a difficult time, I ask the Lord, what do you want me to learn? I call it God's woodshed. Have you ever been in a woodshed? Maybe that woodshed, you've been there so often that has your name on the front. While you're in the woodshed, it's up to you to learn why you're there.
Amen.
Job's case, he was there without even doing anything wrong. But he learned to obey God. He learned to trust God. Sometimes the Lord allowed us to be in the woodshed to sharpen our faith in Him. And Christ is the answer to discouragement. This is a world of baffled hope, broken dreams, frustrated desires. But God can take discouragement and despondency out of your life. He can put a spring in your step and give you the thrill in your heart and purpose in your mind. Optimism and cheerfulness are the product of knowing Christ. The situation may not be changed, but your heart that faced the situation will be changed because of Christ. How many of you guys read the book of Philippians? Just about all of you, right? Book of Philippians, 4 chapters. When you read that book of Philippians, you would think that this guy must be sitting in the beach of Waikiki and with a cold, tall glass of cold iced tea and enjoying kicking back time. No, he was in the Philippine jail. And he was in jail. How can he write this kind of letter filled with joy? Because he did not put his focus on his situation. Rather, he put the focus on Jesus Christ, who is the answer for him. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory. Amen?
Amen.
All right, one last thing. Christ is the answer to the problem of sins. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible indicates that all the troubles of the world stem from the fact that man have broken the laws of God. There is a penalty breaking the law, God's law. The penalty is eternal death and banishment from his presence. However, scripture says that in Jesus Christ we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The Bible says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Is your conscience smitten today because of sins in your life? Have you had the uncomfortable feeling that you are not in tune with God? Has the Holy Spirit been convicting you of the fact that you've been broken the law of God and need a Savior? I'm speaking to both groups. You might say, I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. How do you know you're a believer of Jesus Christ? Because you've been coming to church a few times a year? Or you might say, I've been baptized when I was a kid. No, that has nothing to do with the being born again Christian. Let me make it very clear to you, in case you think that baptism, infant baptism, has anything to do with it. Baptism is nothing more than outward declaration of your inward commitment. Let me say one more time. Baptism is outward commitment, outward declaration for the inward commitment. You say, I'm a born again, and then as a follower of Jesus Christ, as you go underwater, you died with, you're identifying yourself as I died with Christ, and you, when you get pulled up, and you're identifying yourself, I'm risen from the dead. Nothing more, nothing less. Baby cannot make that decision. Are you with me? So the baby baptism is not for anyone, except for mom and dad and for their relative, so they can say, well, we did baby baptism. And if you've never been a born-again Christian and you've been baptized, that means you got wet with the clothes on. Unless you are born again, Jesus said, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be born again? You have to know that you are a sinner. You have to know that you cannot go to heaven without Jesus Christ. All the religion in the world will not make you to go to heaven unless you admit that you need Jesus. And in all these religious rituals, you can do it every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That doesn't make you righteous. Because according to the book of Isaiah, our righteousness is like a filthy rag. Are you trying to compare, thinking that you can make your way to heaven with your righteousness? How do you know that's good enough? You might have someone, you may know someone who has more righteousness. Make it clear to your heart. Your religion will not save you. Do I have to knock on the door every Saturday, visit people, and do good things? No. Remember the guy, thief, on the cross next to Jesus? Did he get baptized? Did he speak in tongue? No. Not that we know. Did he knock on the door on this every Saturday morning? He couldn't. He was stuck. Pun intended. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't go anything. He did one thing though. Lord, remember me when you get into the kingdom. Simple faith in Jesus Christ. Admitting that I'm a sinner, I need Jesus. Without him, you ain't going anywhere to heaven. You have a one-way ticket to hell. Somebody said, on the way to hell is paved with a good intention, right? Simple. Simple answer will change your eternal address from hell to heaven. And why would God do that? Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but to have an everlasting life. Invitation from Jesus has been given. It's up to you to take that invitation of eternal life. Now I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, all of you. Worship team coming up, please.